Welcome to Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. I'm your host, Dr. William Baker, and I want to start by saying I hope everyone is having a blessed week. I hope that spiritually everyone is doing very well, and physically and mentally everyone is doing very well. So today, specifically in this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about mental health. How to increase your mental health. We're going to talk about healing a paralytic, but not through medical means, not through any kind of medicine. We're going to talk about how Jesus, instead of curing the physical ailment of the paralytic, cured the sin and why that's important. And then we're going to talk about how Jesus used basically a tax collector, Matthew. He didn't really use him. Jesus doesn't use people, does he? But he called out to him, and Matthew answered that call. So the tax collector had a change of heart and decided to be one of Jesus' disciples. So anyway, let's begin on that. Mental fitness and what we can do to increase some of it. Now, we've talked in some of the podcasts about many ways, and we're going to continue to do that. We can't talk about everything in every podcast. So today we're going to talk about some of the media that you're exposed to, particularly news. So let's focus on, you know, just the news today. Now, as a Christian, we have a certain set of beliefs. We have morals, characteristics. We have a godly lifestyle that we need to emulate so other people can see it. And we need to act with our heart, you know, not just the act of doing it. You know, it needs to come from the heart. We need to be sincere when doing this. Now, one of the things that can influence us and bring us down a little bit emotionally is what we're exposed to. And a good deal of that, you know, when you're either out or about or just changing, you know, if you watch TV, changing the channel or doing something, you may hear some news. You may see something news-like. It could be on some venue platform of social media. It could be Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Any of the other platforms that are out there, you could be watching many other forms, whether it's cable TV, satellite TV, regular TV on the airwaves. It could be through the radio, AM, FM. There's just so many ways that we get exposed to that these days. And we need to think about what we're really exposing ourselves to. A good portion of the media that we expose ourselves to is deliberately developed for marketing purposes, for attention-grabbing purposes. And as a Christian, is that good for us? You know, they use psychological, some of the more wealthy venues can use psychology in developing, you know, marketing, the strategy of what topics that they're going to actually talk about, discuss, show, and how they're going to pursue the line of questioning or report of news that they actually have on their programs. So when you hear or see a article, so-called news out there, think, you know, is it really a neutral perspective that they're reporting on? Is it an unbiased, you know, Christian perspective, or is there more to it? And in most cases these days, there's more to it. You know, I learned one thing a long time ago, and if you stay away from the news, you tend to have a happier persona. You just tend to be a little more happy. When you see what they bombard you with, you know, you want to see people dying or tragedies or accidents, or if it's a political thing, you may see gun commercials, gun violent commercials. You may see stereotypical, prejudicial, racist, very biased. And it could be against anybody. It could be against white, black, Indian, Asian, yellow, green. It doesn't matter. If they think it will, you know, spike their ratings and it is in alignment with their philosophy, they'll show it. And if it makes them more money with their advertisers. So as a Christian, you need to think about that. What do you want to be exposed to? But think about, more importantly, how does that affect you? Because you have to take care of yourself as a Christian, right? Yeah. You need to take care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't help other people. Now, you may not even realize you're helping other people, but how you act, when you go out there and act like a Christian, you don't have to be walking around saying, oh my God, and you know, thank God, blessed be, the Hail Mary, brother, full of grace. You don't need to walk around like that, but it's how you carry yourself. It's how you interact with other people. It's how you talk to people, how you receive and perceive things. Do you get agitated when you receive those things? You know, now when you're watching these TV shows or news or hearing it or seeing it, how does it make you feel? How does it affect you? You need to really think about that. Now, you may say, what doesn't? Well, later, after you've heard something, later, when you're around people, and it could be friends, loved ones, fellow employees, colleagues, do you get in heated discussions? Do you act differently? Do you notice yourself making some kind of comments or suggestions based off of something you can link back to those programs? Just something to think about. But it's a way to start thinking about yourself and what you're exposing yourself to. And that can help increase mental happiness. And we want that. We want spiritual happiness, mental happiness, physical well-being, the whole person. You know, you've got God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. And we need to think about the way man has been developed. And just that one aspect, you want to stay as mentally happy and healthy as you can. So get rid of some of that trash. And I don't want to call it trash, but it's, you know, if it's bad for you and stuff, it's toxic. You don't want to expose yourself to that. So think about some of that. And if you're curious, write some of that down. When you sit there and reflect on it at times, when you have time to reflect on it, look at that and say, oh yeah, now that kind of makes sense. I remember that conversation. And just before that, a few hours, I was listening to this or I was watching that. You'd be surprised how you can link things back. So in today's podcast, we're going to continue on with Matthew. We're going to start chapter 9, verse 1 today. Now, when we left off, Matthew 8, Jesus healed the two men with demons. You know, when he sent them into the pigs and the pigs went into the sea, the town was crying. We know they were crying and stuff. They were saying, oh, they knew he killed the pigs and that was their livelihood. And it was also a source of food, but definitely their livelihood. And they begged Jesus to leave. So when he left, and this goes to chapter 9, Jesus heals a paralytic. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came into his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Now, let's go back and break that down. Now, going back to chapter 8, the town asked him to leave. So he got, you know, going to chapter 9 now, he got into the boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Well, the city in question was Capernaum. And that was the main center for his ministry in Galilee. That's why it said his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man's blaspheming." Now, the people bring the paralytic to him because they know he can heal them. They've heard it or they've seen it. You know, it's getting around during his time on earth. And he saw him and he knew that they believed. And because of that, he said, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Now, at that point, you know, he says, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." God's the only one that can forgive sins. You know, we say, well, there's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and you've got the Holy Spirit. But he just forgave the sins. But you've got a man of flesh and blood and bone. And now these Pharisees are thinking, you know, they saw that, and they're sitting there saying, the scribes are saying, you know, this man's blaspheming. They don't believe. They don't believe that he's the Son of God. Now, the other people did. They brought the paralytic to him so they could he could heal him. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? He's blaspheming." But he's not. They don't know the Son of God. They don't know God. They don't know the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Why do you think evil in your heart?" Why do you think he's being evil? He said, "Your sins are forgiven. Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And he healed the paralytic. But that's, you know, to the scribes, that's evil. Oh, he's evil. He's doing this. You know, well, he's not a demon. He's not the devil. Supposedly, they think they know what God is and what God looks like, I guess. Very arrogant. And then he says, "For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk?" Now think about that. You got two things here. He's saying, your sins are forgiven. And if we know anything about sins, you know, prior to him going to the cross, you would have to have an animal. You'd have to do a sacrifice, right? You'd have to have the purest lamb you could find out of the flock. Usually, the scribes and the temple priests sold them. They raised them and sold them. And once a year, you would have to sacrifice this animal, which the blood covered your sins for a year. But only a year. Why? Because they're not the perfect lamb. They're not the perfect sacrifice. So you've got, you know, all your sins are forgiven. You know, your sins are forgiven. But you could also say, rise and walk. Why? Because he's God. But people have already seen that. They know that. They know that this man, they may not believe he's Jesus, the Son of God, but they know this man has the ability to heal in some fashion. They don't know how. Some do, some don't. The believers do know, and the unbelievers don't know. "But that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. And the crowd saw it. They were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to man. Now, why does he say, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins"? Because in this chapter 9 here, verse 1 through 8, God doesn't say, "Rise and walk," does he? Earlier, and he says, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." He forgave the man of his sins. He didn't say, "Rise and walk." He forgave him of his sins. And then he says, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." He's already healed him. He didn't have to say, "Rise and walk." He didn't have to say, "Demons be gone." He forgave him of his sins. Now, what is more important? To heal the physical, or to heal something much more important, which is the sins? The sins are what contaminate. The flesh is sinful. When he heals the sins, that sickness is gone. And that's why, when the crowd saw it, that man rise up and went home, and he did it by saying, "Your sins are forgiven." They were afraid. And they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. Now look at that. They saw it, and they were afraid. Why would you be afraid? They don't fully know that he's the Son of God. If I knew he was the Son of God and he did that, I would be on my knees crying and happy. I would be worshiping him, praising him, asking him what it can do for him. I would ask him first to, bless me and forgive me of my sins. I mean, that would be the ultimate right there. But they were afraid, and they glorified God. So they're glorifying God, because they saw that, or they're glorifying it because they're afraid of what it can do. But it says they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Jesus was a man, but he wasn't. At that point, he was a man. Did he know everything? Did he see everything? Did he know everything that was going on? Not when he was truly a man and taking all man's sins into himself. But the people saw the power he had, and it scared them. Now, Jesus calls Matthew. Chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, when he healed the paralytic and he went on, he saw a man, Matthew, sitting at the tax booth. Now, what were these tax booths? Tax booths were like mini bankers. They were like small little bankers. At the time, there was a lot of coinage being made. A lot of coinage from different areas, different materials, with different emblems, pictures, art on the coinage. There was no pre-agreed upon amount where you're going to convert to a conversion over from one coinage to another. So it was always fluid. You know, hey, one day you may take a brass or copper piece and trade it for three brass, and then you may come back the next day and trade a half a silver for three copper or five brass. It's, you know, it could change at a moment because there was no conversion, mutually agreed upon conversions at that time. So it just makes you think about that, you know. And the guy's sitting at the tax booth. So when people came in from other towns, cities, you know, if they were close to the Mediterranean or some of the other seas over there, Galilee, etc., some other people may come in with their coinage and need to exchange it for local coinage. So they would go see one of these tax collectors. And on top of exchanging it, they would get a little fee. Actually, it was probably a high fee. So Jesus looked at Matthew and he said to him, "Follow me." And instantly Matthew rose and followed him. Now, this is a man of wealth. He's got money because he's a tax collector. He just instantly gives it up, and starts following Jesus. Now that says something. He heard Jesus. He wasn't just listening. He heard him. He heard him with his soul, his spirit, his mind, his body, everything. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Now they were in the house of a tax collector. He has a lot of friends who are tax collectors. And they're typically around other people who are sinners. They're not following the teachings of Jesus Christ and not doing what God wants them to do. So they're reclining. And when the Pharisees saw this, and he said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Think about it. You've got Jesus the Christ, and the Pharisees want to prove him wrong anyway, right? They don't believe that he's the Son of God. They want to prove him to be false. You know, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Oh, you're supposed to be a good person. You can't be around those people. Really? Now I guess the Pharisees are going to make morals, ethics, social norms. But remember, it's Jesus. And in that kind of role, in Jesus' role, he wants to save people. He wants to heal people. He wants to redeem people. He wants to absolve you of your sins. If you repent, if you come to Jesus freely and repent of your sins, and you have a change of heart, he will forgive you. He will. And they don't understand that, you know, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, you know, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician. That's right. If you're not sick, you don't need to go to the doctor. But those who are sick. And he's the ultimate physician. They are sick. They're sinners. They're tax collectors. They're cheats. They're hustlers. They need Jesus. They need God. They need to be forgiven of their sins if they freely come and repent. If he has all believers around him, what's he going to do? He's going to be bored and he won't be able to do anything. There's no use for him. He's here to save people. So he told him, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." He doesn't, you know, if I'm a tax collector and I go to God, "Oh, can you, you know, I need you to heal me. Heal me, please," and blah, blah, blah. And "I've got five copper pieces. It's all I got. Here you go. Just heal me." Well, Now I'm just paying him to do it. I heard he could do it. I'm just going to pay him. But it's not the same thing when you freely take that leap of faith. And I've had that change of heart, and I'm asking to forgive me of my sins. I'm seeking redemption, and I change my heart. I could pay, and you know, other people could do the same thing, and they walk away and continue about their lives unchanged, doing what they were doing. Is that sacrifice? No. It's mercy. He's had, you know, it's mercy for those. Right? Sacrifice, you know, think about what we were talking about earlier. The little lambs. He doesn't want the animals to die. He's going to take care of the people. He's going to be the ultimate sacrifice. He knows it. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. The righteous have no need. They've already asked for forgiveness, had their sins forgiven. Absolution was theirs, right? They've changed their hearts. Repentance. They've got salvation. They've got a seat at the table. The sinners. That's what he's there for. People need to think about that. People need to think about that. So, please think about that and go back to, you know, think about mental fitness in that as well. As a Christian, it's not just how we act, what we say, how we interact with people. It's also what we expose ourselves to and absorb, you know, what we hear and see. And earlier we were talking about that news media and how they advertise and what they target. Think about that. There's different ways to get your news without being exposed to some of the things that go against Christianity. And believe me, it is, you know, I don't want to say it's a challenge for Christianity. But it's dangerous. It can be very dangerous being a Christian. It's used against Christians. People want to throw that in your face. Oh, and you're supposed to be a Christian. And, you know, oh, Christianity's, they want to use anything they can to put down Christianity. And they're very vocal about it. They're very visible about it. There's a lot to Christianity. It's a good foundation. It's more than a, you know, it's life. People don't think about that. A lot of the people around, well, in America, there's, you know, a lot of the people around have a Christian background. They're exposed to it. They don't realize how it influences them. And when they talk about, well, Christianity did this, and you know, you're a slave to it, and you have to do this and have to do that, and, you know, they were Christian and they killed all these people. And no, they killed the people. It wasn't Christianity at all. They probably weren't Christian. There's a lot of people out there, including pastors, priests, others who claim to be preachers. They want the money. They want the importance of being a preacher in charge of, I've got 50,000 worshipers, and, you know, they give me tens of thousands of dollars each week. Big deal. You're not doing it for you. You're not supposed to be. But just know, I don't do it for that reason. I do it because I feel called to do it. I don't ask for money. I don't ask for things. I just want the best for everybody. That's me. Dr. William Baker. So, as we finish the preaching aspect of the podcast this week, I just want to say, I hope everybody is doing well. Now, I always tend to end like this, but I'll say this. I want the best for everyone, physically, mentally. You know, if you're having a rough time, you need someone to talk to, you want to leave me a comment, you want to just run something by me that you might want to say to someone, you have some feelings you don't know how to express, something, anything. Especially, you know, if you're thinking about harming yourself or others, let me know. Don't do it. Let me know. Give me a chance first. Please. You know, when you reach out to me and talk to me, I treat it as confessional. It's not going anywhere. It's not a professional counseling session. This is pastoral. I'm not going to document it and put it in there and, oh, the next treatment. No, it's none of that. Don't notify anybody. It's between you and me. But whatever it may be, you can go to Podbean and look up Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. There is a contact tab up there. There's a way to contact me. I have email and I have my address. Now, if you reach out to me by email, or mail. When I get it, I'll either email you or I will call you. If you put a phone number on there, I'll call. If it's an email, I'll email you. If it's a letter and you want me to write you back, I'll write you back. So, but just give me a chance. I'm here to help. I want everybody to be blessed and do the best that they can do. So remember, if you haven't come to Christ, think about it. If you want to accept Christ into your heart, ask Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe that God sent His only Son to die on the cross for our sins, and He rose, and He's able to give us salvation. If we repent, believe, faith in the Lord, and change our hearts. Start living a Christian lifestyle. It's baby steps. Doesn't cost you anything, doesn't hurt anything. Is it scary? It can be. Not Christianity, but when you're starting in it, it can be. Any change can be scary. Don't be scared. Reach out to me. I want to help. And with that, I hope everybody has a blessed week. I hope to do another podcast in a few days. And God bless. This has been Christian Life with Dr. William Baker. Have a blessed week.